Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
back. Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. I'm your host, Jerome. Now, before we get started on this program, I just want to let you know you're listening to a weekly news wrap-up that you can find here every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Esprit Radio. You can check us out at www.espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com if you want to check out any shows in the archives, because I'm sure there's something on there that you didn't find anyplace else on all of the shows. And if you have things you want to email, you can email your news stories or questions or comments to news@soulofsyracuse.com. Now, before we get started, I want to say happy birthday to my girl, Amy. Hey, because we know today is your birthday, so I just wanted to make sure I start the show off with that. And today, or this month, obviously, is Black History Month. Now, this year is Black History Month's 40th anniversary in the United States of having Black History Month. So I want to make sure we start off by saying that. And I'll give you a Black History moment. We won't call them Black History Facts, because, you know, don't particularly like that too much. But so for Black History, here's what we'll talk about. John Dove, who is a physicist and just a brilliant inventor, in 1968 created the technology, the laser-like technology that we now know for CD-ROM and DVD and laser light technology. Now, when he patented the technology, of course, in 1968, the story goes, matter of fact, he told me directly that he did get pulled in from the FBI. J. Edgar Hoover did pull him in, and he had to stay there for a few days, I think it was. And they grilled him because he was black. And they said, how did you create this technology? And what country do you work for? And what government is supporting you? And all this other stuff. But finally he, you know, got away from that, not till the day he passed, still with the overwhelming surveillance of John Dove, who created all of this technology that we get to transfer data, 1 million bytes on a pinhead. He created that. And his problems with, since it's Black History, we have to tell the whole truth in Black History, but he also ran into some problems with the U.S. Patent Office, where the head of the Patent Office representing the U.S. government did not want to give him his patent. And in open court, the head of the Patent Office said, hey, we can't give him exclusive rights because if we did, he would be the only one with exclusive rights to the technology. The judge said that's what a patent is. And so John Dove received his patent for CD-ROM, or for laser light technology. So I just wanted to share that and say hey to his family in California, and Xerox, pay him what you owe him. So for all the companies who still haven't been paying along the lines they need to pay for the technology. So I just wanted to start off Black History Month by saying to John Dove, salute to John Dove. Now, on this program, the U.S. job openings had a surge in December, which again leads us to record numbers of our job growth under President Obama, by the way. U.S. oil prices slid for the fourth straight session this week. Cleveland mayor apologizes for withdraws lawsuit demands for Tamar Rice's family to pay for unpaid ambulance bill after he was fatally shot by the police, mind you. The mayor apologized. And Americans quitting jobs as the labor market strengthens, and Serena Williams helps build schools, a school in Jamaica. We have that this week in court and much more. But I want to welcome you on to the show. Our dialing number tonight is area code, good Lord, I almost forgot it, area code 323-693-3038, area code 323-693-3038. I don't know why I feel kind of strange about that today. Now, our first story, the U.S. job openings surged in December, and the number of Americans voluntarily quitting jobs hit a nine-year high, pointing to the labor market strength despite the slowdown in economic growth. GM is recalling 473,000 SUVs pickups in North America for a brake pedal problem. So I didn't want to name all the models and brands. So if you have a GM car or a car that's made by GM, your SUV or pickup may be recalled. Oil prices slid for the fourth straight session this week and tethered close to a 12.5-year low, which it also hit last month after a weak demand forecast from the U.S. government and the Western world's energy watchdog, while weak equities also, you know, pressure prices. So the U.S. crude fell to about $26.19 last week. That was the lowest since May of 2003. It was a bad market at the end of the day today, so I'm sure they probably topped that last week's numbers. And so oil prices are still going down. So we're going to see how long it takes before we can get down to a buck a gallon. I know we're not going to hit it, but hey, got to dream sometimes. Now, fearful investors seek safe havens, sending gold prices to a one-year high, nearly $1,250 as the global stock market slumps. Now, the precious metals rose another $50 or 4% today, so it's $1,249 or $48 today. That's the highest price since February 2015, and taking its appreciation since the start of the year to 18 cents. So it's gaining ground. Now, New York's Knicks have fired coach Derek Fisher midway through the season, through his second season. Now, the Knicks made the decision on Monday after losing Sunday's game, the fifth straight game that they lost. They dropped 9 of 10 and fell to 23-31. That's well behind the Eastern Conference, well in the back of the Eastern Conference race. Now, Fisher went 40-93 since the Knicks hired him in June of 2014, shortly after he ended his playing career. Now, associate head coach Kurt Rambis has been promoted to interim coach, so we'll see how that goes. Cleveland mayor apologizes and withdraws a lawsuit demanding Tamar Rice family pay $500, an unpaid ambulance bill, after he was fatally shot by police. Now, Cleveland, their lawsuit, because he apologized and blamed it on an administrative error that they charged him. I don't know why the city would charge you for ambulance service, but there's something wrong all the way around on this one. But anyway, I don't accept your apology, by the way, Cleveland. You're dumb. You could have took the $500 after the $10 billion that I would sue you for. So no harm, no foul. You're still going to get sued. Dylan Roof, the kid who – shouldn't say the kid – the crazy young adult who shot up the church, Emmanuel AME Church in Charlotte. His lawyer says that he was prepared to plead guilty in federal to a federal hate crime charge in the church massacre so long as the Department of Justice does not seek the death penalty. Now, a federal judge today again delayed the trial of the 21-year-old who is charged with killing 9 black parishioners at the historic Emmanuel AME Church last June. Now, again, I hope the Department of Justice does not take that. We can care less. Let him go to trial. He needs the death penalty. I'm just going to advocate that on the show today. Now, the Oregon standoff is over, the 21-day confrontation. Now, after 41 days, the occupiers have left the Mulholder National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon. The 4 final occupiers walked out of the compound and handed themselves into the FBI Thursday morning. David Fry, who's 27, stood his ground the final hour. I guess this is how they want to play this in the news, right? Stood his ground, even though his supporters urged him to give up and admitted that he was feeling suicidal. So at one point he said that he wanted to die a free man and then demanded pizza and asked the supporters to bring him marijuana while he ignored orders to walk out of the compound. And they had a phone conversation that they were streaming online with this guy, and he was contemplating the situation, talking about he was enjoying his blanket, but eventually, after one more cigarette and a cookie, he walked out with his hands up and into the hands of law enforcement. Now, get this. While the group decided to put their hands up, both sides dropped their guns, and they were taken into custody peacefully. Just going to leave that right there for you to ponder. Standoff 41 days, the police dropped their guns and arrested them. Something's wrong. But we have a lot more of those stories on the show today. Now, Black Film Fest founder in Canada says that Canada lacks roles for people of color. Now, while the Canadian Screen Awards touts a diverse slate in 2016 nominees, there are still very few roles of people of color in this country, is what the founder said of the Montreal International Black Film Festival and the Toronto Black Film Festival. She said that in the U.S., you do have roles for black people or for African-American people, however you want to call them. She's Haitian. She's a Haitian native. So she's black, so she's good with this. Now, Fabian Colas pointed to recent films such as Selma and Creed when she said that. She said those roles exist, those opportunities are there, but they're not being recognized, versus Canada in a year when you will not have the Book of Negroes. Who are they going to nominate at the Canadian Screen Awards? She said that means that we don't have those roles. They don't exist. The Toronto Black Film Festival runs from Wednesday through Sunday, with 44 titles from 20 countries, and 9 titles come from Canada. But I kind of see her point. She's saying they don't even have the roles to even be shunned in their nominations. So there you have it, touche for her. Now, if you didn't see this, Beyonce releases her new song, Formation, before the Super Bowl appearance. Another Beyonce surprise project has lit up social media and caused a frenzy of excitement the day before her planned Super Bowl performance. Now, Beyonce released Formation on Saturday as a free download on her artist page for the streaming service Tidal, which she co-owns with her husband, Jay-Z, Rihanna, and other artists. The song, along with the music video, was released as a gift to her fans and could be downloaded without having a subscription to Tidal. Now, Beyonce's performance on the Super Bowl that featured background dancers dressed in all black, I won't say as Black Panther Party, because That's what major media is saying. But they predictably had some criticism within minutes of the performance, and the performance saw support. I guess the supporting performers had the X in the middle field, was their position. And though it's a reference to Malcolm X, it raised the arms of some, you know, jesters of, you know, the salute from Tommy Smith and John Carlos from the 1968 Olympics, you know, throw your fist in the air. And the song speaks about her heritage, which includes the lyrics, "My daddy's Alabama, mama Louisiana." You mix that Negro with Creole and make a Texas Bama. You know, I like my baby hair. I like my baby's hair and afros. I like my Negro nose with the Jackson nostrils. She said it makes her proud, is what Beyonce told Entertainment Tonight of her performance. I wanted people to feel proud and have those and have love for themselves. Now, Malcolm X family revealed that they absolutely loved her tribute to her father. Malcolm's daughter, Aisha Shabazz, spoke with Page Six from the Daily Post, the New York Post, said she loved that Beyonce's performance and was making a statement about all the senseless killings. She also told, she also said that she and other family members were asked to appear in the music video for Formation, and they weren't able to make it to New Orleans to the set, so they didn't make it. Now, when that new song, Formation, was released before the Super Bowl halftime show, she mentioned Red Lobster, and everyone waited pretty much to see how the restaurant chain would react, because it's in the song, so it was in the Super Bowl, and it was in the video. After 8 hours, the firm responded with this Cheddar Bay Biscuits, like Beyonce's Bay Biscuits. Has a nice ring to it, don't you think? Pound Formation. And Twitter pretty much went on a meltdown as hundreds of Beyonce fans flooded their page with hilarious memes mocking their late-in-week response. But never fret. Red Lobster said their sales were boosted 33% since her performance, and the 40,000 Twitter mentions made it the first time that Red Lobster has ever trended on Twitter. So as a little Black history fact, Red Lobster has never trended on Twitter until Beyonce mentioned them. She better be getting free biscuits and lobster whenever she goes. Now, the singer has yet to respond to her critics. I think she did a little bit, but in her song, she said, "You know you that bee when you cause all this conversation. Stay gracious. The best revenge is your paper." But she better go get her paper from Red Lobster. Now, the Facebook page of the National Alumni Association of the Black Panther Party had posted several items about the performance. Now, I'm doing this story because, you know, the internet is going crazy with the some conservative websites posting things about her performing and saying that she shouldn't have done this and black people don't like it, have to and have don't. It's not true. So the National Alumni Association of the Black Panther Party, William Johnson, who joined the Black Panthers when he was 19, posted the following message on the group's page. He said, "As an original member of the Black Panther Party, I thank Beyonce for her courage to make a statement on national TV. I am sure she understood the backlash that would follow her performance at the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl. So on behalf of the National Alumni Association of the Black Panthers, we thank you and salute you." So there you have it. And also, a former Black Panther, Niles Rogers, if you don't know him from Chic, super producer, David Bowie, Madonna's Like a Virgin, Duran Duran, all of those, Niles Rogers, and of course Chic, tweeted his appreciation too. Now, Rogers posted a photo of his younger days in support of Panther 21. That was the trial in New York City. If you don't know what the Panther 21 is, go look it up. It's Black History Month. He said that "I love at Beyonce's song Formation. That's me standing in front. That's me standing outside the New York City courthouse when I was 16. Niles Rogers joined the Black Panthers when he was 16 years old. Okay, there you have it with those stories. But you're listening to Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio. There you go. Now, Serena Williams helped build a school in Jamaica. Serena, along with Helping Hands Jamaica, got together with a group of volunteers to build the Salty Marsh Primary School. And she even posted proof on her Facebook page. So if you want to see it, she actually is. She didn't give them money to build it. She was actually out there building. Okay. Now, Jay-Z's streaming service music platform, Tidal, is donating $1.5 million to the Black Lives Matter, as well as other social justice groups such as the Dream Defenders, Black Youth Project, and the Black Youth Project. The funds will also be dedicated to organizations created by families affected by racialized brutalities, such as the Oscar Grant Foundation and the Trayvon Martin Foundation. So Tidal, as a business, has donated to all of these organizations. Now, while we're talking about music, let's go in, entertainment. I won't say the music because the Grammys is coming up. But before the Grammy backlash, let's go into the Oscars. Steven Spielberg, and if you know me, I'm probably going to curse on this segment, but Steven Spielberg said in a recent interview that he is not 100% behind the planned proposition by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences to hopefully diversify Oscar nominees in the future. Now, he does not agree with the plan to take away the membership of individuals who have not been active in the industry for more than 10 years or 10 years or more, and does not think there's any real racism amongst Academy members. Now, he spoke with the Hollywood Reporter, and he said, you have to look back a couple of years when Lupita was recognized for 12 Years a Slave. 12 Years a Slave won Best Picture, you know. I don't believe that there's inherent or dormant racism because of the amount of white Academy members. Now, the Academy Award has 6,000 members of all who worked in the film industry. They're elected by their peers for life. They're like the Supreme Court. So according to analysis in 2012 in a study by the Los Angeles Times, nearly 94% of the Academy voters are white, mostly male, and the Times found that blacks account for 2% and Latinos are 2%. And we don't know if they were black Latinos or anything, but Steven Spielberg has lost his mind. Just thought I'd put that out there. Now, jumping into the fray a little bit today was Meryl Streep. Now, Meryl has launched a bizarre defense to the all-white judging panel, and she's in Berlin for the Berlin International Film Festival by arguing, we're all Africans, really. Now, Streep, who heads a festival film panel for the first time, has been asked by an Egyptian reporter whether she understood films that were Arab from the Arab world or North Africa. And the 66-year-old said, there is a core of our humanity that travels right through every culture, and after all, we're all from Africa originally. All right, that was just so I wouldn't laugh. I had to work my way through that. So that was Meryl Streep on Academy Award for our new film called White Privilege. I just thought I'd share that. But you listen to Esprit News on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us. Area code 323-693-3038. It just kind of hit me out of the blue, but Meryl Streep, then she lost her mind. Now, an inmate lawsuit has ended racial segregation in Arizona prisons, where until a historic ruling that was on Monday, prisoners were housed and assigned jobs based on race. Now, barbers had to use separate tools to cut black hair, Latino hair, and Native American inmates. I'm sure they all use the same tools, but the white inmates got totally separate tools. Gotta love this country. Now, a man sentenced for stalking Mila Kunis escaped from a mental health facility over the weekend and was being sought by authorities in California earlier this week. Now, Stuart Lynn Dunn disappeared Saturday night from the Olive Vista Behavioral Health Center in Pomona, California. He was arrested in February 2012 for breaking into a vacant condo. Now, authorities took him into custody again a few months later after he waited for Kunis outside of her gym for 3 days in violation of a restraining order. Now, he was sentenced to 6 months in rehab and 5 years of probation in order to stay away from the actress or her representatives for 10 years. Okay, I thought that was a movie when I first read it, but again, apparently stalking is serious in this country, so there you have it, just in case it hasn't been put out there. Now, the International Megan's Law bill signed by President Obama was signed this week, requiring sex offenders to be identified on their passports, is already being challenged in court. And guess probably why this is being challenged in court. It's not for the sex offenders who don't have money. It is for the sex offenders who does. And coincidentally, I have a story that may prove this case. Now, a decade after police began an investigation into claims that billionaire financier Jeffrey Epstein had solicited teenage girls for sex, two women who the government designated as underage victims at the time the lawsuit was filed over a sweetheart deal, well, they offered him a sweetheart deal. They filed their lawsuit a few months after Epstein received his lenient sentence in 2008, with their lawyer saying that the U.S. Attorney's Office violated the Federal Crimes Victims' Right Act by not speaking with his victims about the details of his plea agreement. Now, the two victims, when it happened, they were 13 and 14 years old at the time of that abuse. And on June 30th, 2008, the billionaire pleaded guilty to a single state charge of soliciting an underage girl for prostitution and ultimately served 13 months of his 18-month sentence. That time was served not in a prison, but in the Palm Beach Stockade, which is a local detention center. Now, Epstein was also allowed to leave 6 days a week to go to work out of his West Palm Beach office during the time behind bars. He was allowed to leave 6 days a week. Okay, now this new filing today claims that Epstein, who was facing up to 15 years in prison on that one conviction, was able to get his sweetheart deal due to pressure his legal team placed on a state attorney, Kershaw, and U.S. Attorney Alexis Acosta. Now, both of the women have since left those positions, but the Daily Mail has revealed that his butler, who also had to do time, like 18 months, because he kept a little black book of his contacts, which he said was the holy grail of dozens of entries for people who came in and out, naked girls in there. There's up to 30 victims were identified in 2008. But in his book of A-listers, President Bill Clinton, Mick Jagger, Donald Trump, Earl Spencer, Barbara Walters, Henry Kissinger, and at least three members of the Kennedy family was in his book. He kept it so that he wouldn't get fired or end up missing. And this guy, billionaire, gets out of jail in 13 months. 30 victims. Here we go. All right, just thought I'd share that part of the story. Just seems kind of sick, but just in case you think that black people are just kind of making this stuff up, here's your case when you say, how come you can't stamp somebody's passport that they were a sex offender? This is probably going to do it. Now, New Yorkers have brought a federal class action suit against Dunkin' Donuts over the sales tax that it charges on prepackaged coffee. I know, noting that the unheated food and deli coffee are exempt from state tax, so they are now suing. Now, get this. you can go to court for many things, but apparently coffee is important to some people. Now, a federal judge this week ended a 3.5-year legal feud between the Justice Department and Congress over the Justice Department's response to Fast and Furious, that gun walking scandal that happened under Bush. They were trying to make it a part of President Obama's 7 years in office, and they're, you know, finally dropping the case. Now, an all-male panel, speaking of court, voted to keep tampon tax in Utah. Now, I don't get this, but an all-male committee refused to make feminine hygiene products exempt. The members of this taxation forum voted on Wednesday, 8-3, against removing the tax. Now, opponents of the tax say that it was punishment to penalize women for their biology, but I'm with them. Taxing for something that you actually need is kind of crazy, but that's Utah. I didn't make that up. All right, so a 94-year-old SS guard at the Auschwitz death camp is going on trial this week on 170,000 counts of accessory to murder. It's the first of up to 4 cases being brought to court this year in the 11th hour pushed by the German prosecutors to punish Nazi war crimes. All right, now here, Reinhold Hanning is accused of serving as an SS, whatever it's called. It's familiar. It's similar to a sergeant in the Auschwitz from January 1943 to June 1944. At the time when hundreds of thousands of Hungarian Jews were brought to death to those camps in cattle cars and were gassed to death. So the trial for the retiree from the town near, I guess it's the western city of Demold, started on Thursday, and one of the latest following precedent set in 2011 when a former Ohio auto worker, John somebody, became the first person convicted in Germany solely for serving as a camp guard with no evidence of involvement in a specific killing. Now, there's some irony in there, right? So no police officer on videotape can get killed go to jail for killing somebody, but they're convicting former guards because they were there. All right. Now, a former lunch lady, 38, is jailed for admitting to repeatedly raping a 15-year-old during his family holiday. And that's a little harsh, but that's what the story says. Janelle Foley, 38, a lunch lady in Massachusetts, has admitted that she had sex repeatedly with a 15-year-old boy and pled guilty to those child rape charges in court. So with their family present, she took him across state lines and slept with him. I don't know what to tell you. Now, a bystander who was shot in the head by Sirhan Sirhan, who's the assassin of Robert F. Kennedy, forgave him on Wednesday at a California parole hearing where officials denied Sirhan parole for the 15th time. Now, the 91-year-old Paul Sherrod, who told the parole board that he believes Sirhan shot him at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles in 1968, but the unidentified second shooter killed Kennedy. In the years since Robert Kennedy's assassination, Sirhan was said he does not remember the events from June 5th, 1968. So commissioners concluded that Sirhan did not show adequate remorse or understand the enormity of his crime, so they didn't let him out. I don't think they should have let him out anyway. That's just my opinion, but I thought I'd share it. There you have it. So Sirhan, a name that you don't hear often in American culture, did not get parole this week. Now, a judge ruled today that Bill Cosby's wife, Camille, must give a deposition in the defamation lawsuit, but can refuse to answer questions about the private marital conversations. Now, U.S. District Court judge upheld the magistrate's ruling, but said that she may refuse to answer questions that call for testimony prohibited by the Massachusetts marital disqualification rule. Now, here we go. So they want to get her on stand to show out, but they can't ask her anything about him. So they said they just want to ask her business questions. We're going to see how the circuit's going to play out. But I know today when I saw it on the news, I needed to do the story because it made it seem like that she was going to be talking about the case at all. But she's only there because she was managing him at some point, is what they used as an excuse to make her take a deposition, and now they ruled they cannot talk to her about anything about because of the marital disqualification rule. So it has to be business related, or we're going to see a lot of objections. I'm sure they'll try to break those rules like normal. All right, just want to remind you, you're listening to Esprit News on Esprit Radio. I want to say hey to everyone online. Our dial-in number, area code 323-693-3038, if you want to join in on the conversation. Now, an Arkansas judge, Wade Naramore, 36, has been charged with a misdemeanor negligent homicide in the July death of his 18-month-old son. Now, Thomas, who was left in the backseat, which is the infant, left in the backseat of the judge's car, he filled out his affidavit, like in an affidavit filed after his arrest. Warrant was, he was quoted as saying to the responders that I killed my baby. So the issue is that this judge knowingly put his baby in the car to try to kill the child, and he is now being tried. He's 36 years old, and this was an Arkansas Circuit Court judge. What is going on in the world? Now, fed up. This is in the Ukraine. I know this is going to be a crazy story for today. But a fed-up woman sprays breast milk all over her colleagues when they ignored her request to end a dull meeting. So there's footage out there. This happened today. That reportedly shot in the Ukraine. This woman is seen arguing with several different men in front of her. And she just adjusts her top, then exposes herself and starts spraying folks. It is crazy, and I don't know why I'm doing that story, but that happened today in the news. So just for my crazy news of lighting up all the crazy stuff that's going on in regular news, I just thought I'd throw that story out there. Thought I'd share. All right, now, I wanted to do this news story. Well, I'm trying to think of an easy way to put this. Okay, so this is a study that Americans spend about 10 to 20 minutes on hold each week. So according to TalkTo, which is a surveying company, I guess, that adds up to about 90 million hours per year and 43 days of your life. But how long you put up with it apparently depends on what state you live in. So a study by MarkX was released that found that people in Kentucky have the shortest temper when it comes to waiting. Ohio is second and most impatient state, followed by North Carolina, New York, and West Virginia. I know you guys thought New York was number one, but New York is not number one in this case. Now, the bizarre findings flies in the face of stereotypes pinned up for the people on the East Coast as highly strung and fast-talking business people, and the West Coast as laid-back artsy folks. So Oregon is the home of the fastest speakers in the country, like people who talk fast is what the study found. And in fact, only one state on the East Coast, Massachusetts, was featured in the top five of fast-talking on the fast-talking list. They beat out Minnesota, Kansas, and Iowa. And the slowest talking, perhaps predictably for slow talking, resides in the South. So here we go. North Carolina, Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Louisiana, and my people, Mississippi. Well, my people's Louisiana, but anyway, those were the slow talking states. See, I tried to do that slower just to give it effect. I don't know. Now, New Yorkers took the title for the most talkative because they used more words to get their point across, and that was followed by California, New Jersey, Maryland, and Nevada. So, hey, okay, that's all I want to say about that story. We're talkers apparently in New York. Now, this week in court, there were some stories that we missed out, but lumber liquidators will pay more than $13 million in criminal fines as restitution for illegally importing hardwood and other environmental crimes. Roc Nation, the record company run by Jay-Z, will let Rita Ora out of her contract. The singer's attorney did press and announced just days before the label took Ora to court for allegedly four old albums. So she owed four albums, and but she was suing them that they weren't putting marketing behind her. So Roc Nation let her out of their contract. I guess they figured, why go through all of the problems? All right, so on that note, let's bring in. I don't know how long you've been up here, Kamis, but let's bring Kamis in. How are you, Kathleen? Sorry about that. Kamis, am
good.
I on mute?
How are you?
Okay. I'm good. I didn't know which one I missed out on.
No, I was noticing that as you spoke about the South, your voice, you started to slow down.
I was laughing at that because I was reading it. I'm like, okay, so they like to talk slow, so I'm going to slow down for the slowest talking states.
That was funny.
I don't know. I had
so
to amuse myself.
That New York
on that.
Didn't have number one as being the fastest talkers, but I think actually New Jerseyans is that what they are? New Jerseyans, whatever.
Well, that's what we'll call them.
They do speak a lot faster than New Yorkers, and I do think New Yorkers are very talkative. So I think I'm going to agree with the study and say that New Yorkers do talk a lot, and also we also talk pretty fast. And depending upon which borough you happen to be from, you do really, really, really talk a lot of fast.
It's like, well, see, New Yorkers have to get their words in before the train leaves, or you know, so it's
that's
always
right.
Like I have to go. Bye. That's pretty
that's
much
right.
Why that would be. So
that's it.
So New York was. New York uses the most words, is what they're saying. So they use the most words to get the point across. Now, I would think that would be Midwest, though. It seemed like they would just kind of, I need you to know how I'm feeling before I tell you what I'm about to say. And then I need to know what you think after I say what I'm about to say. But I'm not going to say it yet until I figure out a way to make you feel comfortable with me before I start talking. Like, I think that's a Midwest thing. That would be my personal survey. I don't know how true that is. So, it was just interesting when I saw that. I kept thinking, New York's nowhere in there. They were there, but just wasn't as prominent. Oh, by the way, while I'm at this, you know, the FBI has joined the investigation into the Flint, Michigan water crisis that the federal, state, and city officials are trying to explain their delay. So, FBI is now involved. And whatever excuses that they're making. But
can we
hopefully
do a show just on that?
Did we what?
I said, can we do a show just on Flint water?
We need to.
Just on Flint water.
Just Flint water.
Because there's so much that's missing from the, you know, if there is any explanation anywhere, but there's so much that's missing as far as information goes about what's going on in Flint, from the government, from, you know, the governor and his position on it and why he's still in office right now. There's so much going on as to how the heck this happened in the first place. And people are relating it. I think it was here on the show relating it to the Tuskegee experiment. I think it's really something to go after. I think it's something people really need to.
The long-term health effects are going to be horrible. I mean, there are some people from here. Matter of fact, what we'll do is we'll bring some people on the show who actually just came from there that I know.
Great.
So we'll have to talk
Great.
About that.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we'll definitely do that show.